Today we have an awesome panel to discuss beyond MD. What do we do outside of medicine, outside of academic medicine, to keep our careers going?
It's focused mostly on passion and opportunity. Those are probably the two key things that really led me to where I happen to be right now. And it really is fortuitous and coincidental. And I will say, when you say passion and opportunity, it seems like such an easy thing to just jump ship and say, oh yeah, I'll go 100% with you. But then I think one of the lessons that I learned, and it's a hard decision to make, I think, for a lot of people. You have a clear idea and trajectory of where you're going, whether you're going in academics or community. But then when you go into something completely novel, it's one that's a lot of risk. You just don't know. And, you know, you take a pay cut. There's no clear future in it. But at the same time, that's where that passion part came in, where I have an opportunity to actually have a larger platform to display my passion and also deliver better medical education. And so that's probably what I would say is how I ended up where I am right now. It wasn't easy. You have to have a purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because you can always fall back on that when times are tough. And when you have difficult decisions to make, to go back to why are you doing what you're doing? Because it's never easy with regard to jumping into startup companies in general. The one thing that was a very blinding, like, I got broadside totally, is about contracts when you negotiate, talking about paltry salaries. On the flip side, what you get is equity, or you can argue for it, especially if they have that in place. And it's one thing I think a lot of us in medicine, unless if you have a business background and have worked in that kind of arena before, you just have no idea what that even means. Like, I don't know what equity means. Like, it's not a tangible thing. And Basically, it's you own a certain percentage of the actual company if it ever were to get sold or transferred. And so you would get a monetary value. It's like you have to advocate for yourself to prove your value and also argue for it. And it's a very difficult thing, especially if you don't even understand the terminology and the world that it comes into. Presumably, if you're leaving and you're not going to go back to the institution, is that you can take advantage of the resources you have access to, because getting attorneys to consult for you, they're very expensive. And so if you're already an employee and you have access to an attorney to consult, to ask hypothetical type questions, then those are the resources you should take advantage of, especially if you're leaving an institution to go somewhere else, because then you have really no conflict, really. It's like, even if it's hypothetical and it became reality, it's like, well, you're leaving. It's not going to affect that particular institution, but they'll give you a general weather vane of like what direction or obstacles you might actually cross, and they're free. And so, because you're an employee of them right now. And so that's certainly one thing to take advantage of.
But for you guys as fellows now, I'd almost recommend that if any of these opportunities come up, you know, while you're a fellow, I mean, you're still technically an employee, but before you almost commit to that next contract, lock everything in. Sign up all for all these consulting gigs, all of these advisory board, all of that stuff. Try and do it in that little mini gap that you have, because then you come in saying, actually, you know, I've got this other gig. I was doing that before I came to your company or obtained to your institution. It gives you a little bit of protection there. One of the big trends in a lot of academic medicine now is creating these sort of centers of innovation, centers of digital health. And a lot of times those are kind of separate from the institution. But if you can get involved in those, that's kind of like the academic incubator, where it may not be yours per se, but it's something that you have ownership of and have a larger part. So if you have to play within the rules or the confines, that's kind of an interesting place to do it. The one thing I will just mention that I kind of forgot about earlier is that whatever you end up doing, if you kind of branch off and do a lot of the side work, and at least for me, all this academic stuff is, I've seen a couple people get burned by them giving up shifts completely and not doing clinical work and really putting all their eggs in that one basket. The startup space is fickle. Even the academic space is fickle. You get like a new dean or someone above you, and they might just want their whole new crew in there. And so if you ever completely give up the clinical, that's something I'd warn against, but always keep your foot at least on the clinical side, because that's going to be your quote backup plan when all this doesn't go well. But it's a pretty solid backup plan, by the way. But it's just something to think about, that as much as you want to completely devote 200% time, a shift here and there will help save you, and you can always throttle that backup if you need to. Even though it doesn't always work out the way you want it to, you sort of have to be malleable. I mean, you have to sort of roll with the punches. If you see an opportunity there, go for it. If you find out that you can't do it, well, then try and figure out a way around that. And even though universities tend to be at times a very stifling environment, there's always ways that I found you can work around it, just kind of being creative.
When you're trying to assess opportunities, and this is more for the academic realm than it is for just general life, but he called it the three P's. And one was if you get a perk out of it. So if someone's going to pay for your trip to go somewhere, or like it's, you get some perk as like free stuff in return. The second P is if you get paid for it. That's of course obvious. And then the last is if you get publication or promotional value out of it. And if you can get all three out of the ballpark, you're done. I mean, that's an obvious golden opportunity. If you get nothing out of it, that's an easy no. One, it's for him, it would be a no. And then if you get two out of three, that's actually the sweet spot where at least you get two out of the three of those things when trying to select out opportunities. So pay, perk, and promotion.
The main lessons I'm taking away is that, first of all, you need that passion to decide exactly what you want to spend your time on. And having those opportunities really leads to a sense of purpose and a sense of fulfillment in your career. So, but one of the other things is to really get advice at all steps of the process. And so Paul and Warren are here for all of you guys in the fellowship incubator all month. They'll be available. So thanks again for tuning in this month.
This podcast is brought to you by Call 9. Stay tuned for more podcasts from the Alien Fellowship Incubator.